Let's read together Genesis 46, verses 1 through 7. Now, in this first section of the chapter, we see Jacob and his family on their way to Egypt to join Joseph, but Jacob first stops at Beersheba to worship the Lord. Genesis 46, beginning at verse 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. All right, let's consider a few background notes first of all. In Genesis 45, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers. Even though Joseph's brothers had hated him and betrayed him and sold him as a slave, Joseph was willing to forgive and forget the past. Joseph did not take revenge, and he did not hold a grudge, and he did not extend his disciplinary tests when there was evidence of repentance. Joseph forgave his brothers, and he was reconciled to his brothers. What a great picture we have here in Joseph of how the Lord is willing to forgive us, and how the Lord is willing to reconcile us to himself. And what a great example we have here in Joseph for us to follow. We should be willing to forgive others as Joseph did, even though we've been hated and betrayed, maybe even by members of our own family. We should at least be willing to forgive. After the reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers, Joseph told his brothers to go home and get Jacob, their father, and their families, and move to Egypt. After all, there were 5 more years of famine still to come. So Jacob and his extended family left Hebron, where they were living at this time, and started for Egypt. But Jacob apparently had some misgivings about going to Egypt. After all, he was 130 years old at this time, and God had brought him back to Canaan. Furthermore, his grandfather, Abraham, had gone down to Egypt years before in a time of famine, against God's will. Read about that in Genesis 12. And Isaac, his father, in Genesis 26, had been warned by God not to go down to Egypt. So Jacob wanted to be sure that going down to Egypt was okay and not out of God's will. So Jacob does the right thing here. He went to the Lord. We read in verse 1 that Jacob stopped at Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Beersheba was where Abraham had built an altar and called on the name of the Lord, Genesis 21. Beersheba was the place where Isaac had built an altar, and the Lord had appeared to Isaac there, Genesis 26. And it was here at Beersheba where Jacob had left home, when he had to run from his brother Esau more than 50 years before this time. You know, this is at least the 4th time, by the way, that the Lord spoke to Jacob at night. See verse 2? Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night at Bethel, where Jacob had the vision of the ladder or staircase. The Lord spoke to Jacob at night, Genesis 28. At Padan Aram, when Jacob was about to leave Laban, the Lord spoke to Jacob at night, Genesis 31. At the river Jabbok, where Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord spoke to Jacob at night, Genesis 32. And now here at Beersheba, we see that the Lord speaks to Jacob at night. Sometimes in the quietness of the night, when we're not so busy, the Lord can speak to us. Well, here at Beersheba, God gave Jacob the green light and told him that it was okay to go to Egypt. Look at verse 3. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points from this first section of Genesis 46. Doctrinal point number one, God confirms the decisions of his obedient children. God confirms the decisions of his obedient children. We said that Jacob was doing the right thing here. He wanted to make sure that he was making the right decision. So he went to the Lord. This is always the path of the obedient Christian. We look to the Lord when we have important decisions to make. The Lord promises that he will guide his obedient children. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean or depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. How does God direct our paths? How does God guide us and help us in the decision-making process? Well, he uses several means to help us. He gives us the inner convictions of the Holy Spirit. He gives us common sense. He gives us biblical guidelines to help us make decisions. He provides godly counsel if we'll seek it. He controls circumstances. He expects us to pray. And here's the point here, he confirms the decisions of his obedient children. That's what we see going on here in the life of Jacob at Beersheba. God is confirming Jacob's decision to go to Egypt. Common sense and circumstances were definitely in favor of going to Egypt. Jacob's son was there. Joseph was now prime minister of Egypt, and he had invited them to come, and he promised that he would provide for them and take care of them. And now God confirms Jacob's decision to go to Egypt. Notice that Jacob does not set out a fleece. I'll go to Egypt if I see exactly 10 camels between Hebron and Beersheba. No, setting out fleeces is not evidence of a strong faith. Read the story of Gideon in this connection. Setting out fleeces is asking God to do something more or less miraculous on our terms. That's like putting God in a box. Letting God confirm your decision on his terms and in his way and in his time, that's not setting out fleeces. Well, that's what Jacob is doing here. He's letting God confirm his decision. And God does confirm his decision. God confirms the decisions of his obedient children. You know, just this last year, Margie and I made a major decision and downsized from a house where we had lived for more than 20 years to an apartment. In making this decision, we used the means that God has given his children. Common sense, circumstances, counsel of other believers. And we also prayed in line with biblical guidelines that we would not lose any time in the ministries that God had given us when we made this move. Well, God confirmed our decision in a most remarkable way. I happened to be giving a biblical seminar on the West Coast. I was scheduled to give two lectures during the evening with a break between the two lectures. 45 minutes before the first lecture, Margie called me with an offer that had come in on the house. The offer was significantly lower than what we had listed the house for. I said to Margie, let's tell the real estate agent that we'll come down a little in our price, and I'll call you back in a half hour. I called back 5 minutes before the first lecture. The buyers had come up significantly. Well, I told Margie, let's split the difference, and I'll call you back during the break between the two lectures. After the first lecture, I went to a phone where there was a fax machine. Sure enough, the buyers had agreed to the new price. So I told Margie to sign the contract and fax it over to me so I could sign it. 2 minutes later, the contract was in my hands. I signed it and faxed it back. House sold. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another day at the office, whatever. I went on to my second lecture with 1 minute to spare. It was like the Lord was saying, look, Dave, I'll confirm this decision by showing you that I can sell your house where you don't even have to lose a minute in ministry time. God confirms the decisions of his obedient children. Doctrinal point number two, God superintends the decisions of his finite children. God superintends the decisions of his finite children. Look at what God says to Jacob there in verse 3. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. Little did Jacob know that his decision to go to Egypt was being superintended by God in order to bring Jacob and his sons down to Egypt where the nation of Israel would be formed. The same is true in reference to our decisions. We are finite. We don't have all the facts. We don't see the big picture. But God is infinite, and he does have the big picture. Our job is to make decisions the best we can using the means that God has given us. But God, in his infinite wisdom, is superintending these decisions and working out his greater plans. Illustration. A number of years ago, I made a decision to make a job change. It involved a move, and we decided to rent a house temporarily while we looked around for a house to buy. The house we decided to rent was right near the local high school. To make a long story short, renting that particular house led to having a teenage Bible study in this rented house. And leading that teenage Bible study led to leaving secular employment and serving the Lord full time. When we made the decision to rent that house, we had no idea what God had in mind. God was working out his plans through our decisions. That was true in Jacob's life. It's true in our lives as well. God superintends the decisions of his finite children. Practical application. Remember, the Lord is with us in death as well as in life. Remember, the Lord is with us in death as well as in life. Look at God's promise to Jacob here in verse 4. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. What a great promise. I will go down with you to Egypt. God is saying that his presence will be with him. And I will bring you up. This is the promise of the Exodus. Jacob's descendants would return under God's guidance. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes, or close your eyes. This is the promise of a peaceful death for Jacob. And not only a peaceful death, but a death controlled by God as to time and circumstances. What a promise. God promises to be with us and care for us in death as well as in life. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Lord promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we tend to apply this promise only to life, but it applies to our deaths as well. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, just a few weeks ago, I spoke at the funeral of a young Christian woman who died of cancer. In the last couple of weeks of her life, I had the opportunity to visit Diane Jacobus a number of times in the hospital, and she said, more than once, that the Lord was especially close to her during these times. And the Lord was with Diane when he took her home. Remember, the Lord is with us in death as well as in life.